Really enjoyed your study, Brother Johnny. I love grammar and English anyway, and so I enjoyed how you explained some of the grammar there. I wanted to ask a question about a book by Harry Rimmer called Inspiration plus Revelation equals the Bible. And in this book, he said that inspiration and revelation were different, that inspiration was sort of the Holy Spirit editing what the apostles and prophets wrote in historical records, to preserve it from error. And revelation was when God spoke something directly from heaven that they wouldn't have, he sort of dictated something. Do you think that's an accurate distinction between those two words?
Well, I think there is a distinction. I think, as you pointed out, revelation is God revealing himself to man. Inspiration certainly is the way that the Holy Spirit revealed it to the apostles and prophets. But beyond that, I don't know about the editing.
You think that might be a leap in saying that they have two, really, he kind of said the meanings were drastically different between the two, and that the two working together is how the Bible was delivered. If I recall correctly, he was giving that in opposition to mechanical dictation,
Right,
something
certainly
like
you'd
that.
want to steer clear of a mechanical dictation because that's not the way it was.
One other
Yeah,
thing, what were you going to say?
that does seem reasonable that the Holy Spirit would adapt it to the apostle or prophet.
One other thing I just wanted to mention, this is just a thought, on the different writing styles. I heard a comparison that I thought really made a lot of sense, and that is that most of us could tell the difference between a trumpet and a trombone, and even if the same man played both instruments, they would still maintain their own unique tone and temperament. And in the same sense, when you read the Bible, each of those men, each of those instruments, they were being spoken through by the same God, but they maintained their own unique tone and temperament like an instrument. I thought that was a good way of
Yes,
explaining it.
good illustration.
I had a comment and then a question, Brother Johnny. Comment in 2 Timothy 3:16, where you were making the comparison between the King James Version and the American Standard Version. I like how the English Standard translates it, and it makes the point that you're making. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. That's the exact thing that you were teaching there,
Right.
just for what that's worth.
Yeah. The Revised Standard Version also renders it as the King James does.
The question I had was at toward the end of your sermon there, you said when Jesus quotes the Septuagint, he was showing that the translation was inspired. And I'd always looked at that as he was showing that we were authorized to use translations. In, I believe it's John Ankerberg's book, Taking a Stand for the Bible, he points out that the King James Version has some mistakes in it, but it's 99% accurate. There's only 1% of its translation that has any type of question surrounding it, and that when we say we believe in the inspiration of the Bible, we're saying we believe in the original text, the original Greek text, that it was free of errors. And there are some errors in translation. There's fewer errors than people purport. And in those very rare instances, in that 1%, we can go back to the original Greek text and tell where the error occurred in the translation. I wanted your comment on that.
Well, I think that's right. I think everybody would agree that there are some mistakes, probably in the translation. I certainly would not deny that. However, as you pointed out, the 1% probably would not affect any point of doctrine at all. And those are mistakes of men, not the mistakes of God.
Thought that was excellent, Johnny. A comment or two, and then a question on this difference that Clint brought up between you brought up between inspiration and revelation. I think an example is, and I'd be interested in your comment on this, in Acts 27, when Paul is about ready to journey, here I've in verse 10, he says, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Acts 27 and 10. But in verse 23 and 24, he later says, when they're in the midst of the storm, for there, 22 and 23. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. In the first statement, we have an inspired record, verse 10, of Paul's estimation of what the weather was going to be like that time of year. And he's saying, if the weather follows its normal course, we'll have the loss of the ship, the cargo, and lives. But when the angel actually speaks to him by direct revelation, it's only the cargo and the ship that are in danger. There will be no loss of life, provided that people follow Paul's instructions. And I think that helps to show a clear example of a difference between inspiration. What he said in verse 10, we have an inspired record of the very words he said, and God intended for us to have that just that way. In verse 22 and 23, we have a direct revelation that corrects Paul's estimation of the situation.
That's right. You know, verse 10, don't you think that could have been what we would call a natural observation?
Yes.
He may have looked at the winds and the wave and made that observation.
Right. I think Paul had traveled a lot, and he knew as much about the sea as the rest of these guys.
Like you say, when he received it from God, it was inspiration.
Right. Yeah. And I think also on this deal about the Septuagint, Jesus quoting from the Septuagint, of course it depends on who you're reading after, but Jesus quoted from the Septuagint about 80% of the time, which means that he approved of translation and he recognized the translation as the Word of God. It also shows that having the original is important. 20% of the time, he quoted from the original because it was more accurate. But I do think, and I'm sure you and Nathan both agree, I do think we need to be careful about talking to people about mistakes in the Bible without some careful explanation, because we're going to unintentionally undermine the authority of Scripture if we're not careful.
Right.
But what about, I wanted to ask you about this. The revelation is verbally plenarily inspired, but it is a complete revelation. It's ended.
Right. That's right.
But what about people who say, well, thank you for your commendation of this song, but I couldn't have written this song by myself. I don't know this stuff like this. And they're appealing as though they were inspired when they wrote that song. There's no such thing as that.
No, if it was, we ought to write it down and put it part of the Bible.
I would like to address this situation of the difference between revelation and inspiration. The way I've always explained it, and I need to be corrected if I've been explaining it incorrectly, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. This is revelation. God revealed something. Verse 12, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. That's revelation. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, revelation was when God placed a thought in the prophet's mind, and inspiration is when he gave him the correct words to express that thought to others. Sometimes we have ideas, but how to express those ideas to somebody else, we can't think of the proper words to get our ideas across to somebody in an accurate way. So God not only revealed His Word, put His revelation into their minds, but He also gave them the correct words to express that revelation. So the revelation would be the thought, the inspiration would be the words to express those thoughts.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any disagreement with that. I think that's probably right. If we think of revelation as simply the unveiling of God, uncovering of God, then that makes sense.
Thank you, Johnny. I really enjoyed that. You talked about the Apostle Paul. Some people consider him giving his opinion on matters such as 1 Corinthians 14. What do you talk about, or what would you say to skeptics who would say, well, there's parts of the Bible where it looks like people are giving their opinions. And one was like where he was perceiving the storm. But one here in John chapter 21 and verse 25, it says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. The word suppose, I mean, how would you explain that to a skeptic saying, well, that's his opinion rather than inspiration?
Well, of course, that was his conclusion, and that actually is a hyperbole, you know, an exaggeration meant for the purpose of indicating how much Jesus did that's not recorded. So I don't think we would take it seriously, you know, in that sense. It's a figure of speech to say that. I think John expected people to recognize that it was an exaggeration.
Just a thought to go along with what Mike had asked. You know, just because it does say suppose, it can't contradict the simple, plain passages that you alluded to in your sermon, 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, which would include that. So I just wanted to add that to it. If we have a doubt in our mind as to what it does mean, it can't contradict that simple, plain passage.
The inspiration would cover the idea that he didn't really know, that he supposed, you know, and put it in that literal sense.